This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Oh, Cervantes and Hamilton going to each other and the whiskey. Ooh. Right into it.
We have a fight.
With Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Knocheck was just totaled by an Iowa State player against the board.
I think it was by Hamilton.
On WGR.
Really a pretty unnecessary hit by Hamilton. Hamilton is still awfully mad. He's being held back.
Number 17, Paul Hamilton. 2 minutes for charging, 5 minutes for fighting, and
a misconduct. Sports Radio 550.
Always happy to welcome Paul Hamilton into the show, but especially today on the heels of just a tremendous week and a half worth of hockey, especially between Canada and the USA. Two meetings here within the week, and last night's championship game of the Four Nations face-off was just a joy to watch for hockey fans everywhere. P-Ham, I take it you echo that sentiment?
Yeah, it was great. And I kind of warned everybody. You just knew Jordan Binghamton, he has that game in him. Not a lot. But he has that game in him. And you look back, I had kind of forgotten this until after he pulled it off again. I mean, he's been in two game sevens when they won the Stanley Cup and was just unconscious in both of them. One of them was in Boston. And he hadn't played real well in the tournament. He'd been okay, but every game, a goal or two that you'd want back. And it's just that. But you just knew that was there sometimes. And if he could pull it, if he could bring it to the forefront, Canada was going to be awfully tough, and he did it. I mean, he absolutely stole them the hockey game.
Yeah, especially in overtime, Paul. I mean, wow. It was reminiscent of the game, the first game of this tournament, I think I mentioned. I thought he looked kind of shaky in that game against Sweden, but then in OT, he was outstanding. And, boy, last night, I mean, the save on Matthews, the save on Tkachuk at the side of the net. I mean, holy Moses. So, yeah, I mean, I can't wait to line up and kick him in the rear end most of the time. A lot of it has to do with his behavior on the ice. I just think he's kind of a loose cannon, and I hate that in a goalie. But man, yeah, he was nails.
Yeah, in all three games, I thought in the preliminary, I thought he let in a bad goal, or he was okay. You know, it wasn't like he was god awful, but he wasn't good either. And you know, I think Hellebuck definitely had outplayed him. You know, he had played two and Binghamton had played three, but give the coaching staff credit for Canada. They were not swayed. They didn't go with anybody else. They were the only team in the tournament that had a Stanley Cup winner in goal, and they had two of them. Hill also has won the Stanley Cup. And, and you said the save on Matthews. Don't stop there. How about the three saves on Matthews?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Now Matthews is a 60-goal scorer. He would have been capable of scoring on any of those when you give him that type of opportunity. And I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I'm really not. It's probably going to sound like it. Matthews, for three periods, I thought probably was their best player. I thought he, you know, the two assists. He got back, got to break up a two-on-one that on Gensel that looked like was going to be a great scoring chance, and he got back and broke it up. Just a hustle play. But then, you know, when you needed him the most, he has three or four glorious chances in overtime as a superstar player. Doesn't capitalize on all of them. And then the last goal is mind-boggling. I don't get it at all. What are you doing? I mean, Fox is in good position with Marner in the corner. If Matthews just stays with mm-hmm. McDavid, Marner doesn't have a play. You know, but he just decides he's going to roam towards Marner into the corner. First of all, Marner is not going to score from there. Second of all, Fox is with him. What are you doing? This is Connor McDavid that you're leaving. And we're quite, you know, we see the Sabres. They have problems covering guys in the middle, too, sometimes, quite a bit, actually. And it just boggles my mind. And maybe if you watch that whole overtime again, you can understand why the Toronto Maple Leafs don't make any noise in the playoffs when their best player performs like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen any comments from him explaining like what he was thinking there. I can only guess, Paul, that he maybe didn't see Fox and realize that Fox was closer to Marner because he was sort of maybe in his peripheral vision and maybe just didn't notice him and just thought I better try to, like, you know, not give this guy a lot of time. But yeah, I mean, obviously leaving the best player in the world all alone in the slot is, you know, it's a pretty tough place to be.
But Bulldog, even if Fox isn't there, Marner's in the corner. Don't leave the best player in the NHL when you're with him in front of the net. Let Marner be in the corner. As I said, see if somebody else can get there. But don't leave McDavid for that. So, you know, I wouldn't go there even if Fox wasn't there just because Marner's not scoring from the corner. Make sure he doesn't have a pass to the best player in hockey.
Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline here with me on WGR pouring over last night's Four Nations finale between Canada and the U.S. It is really stark, Paul. I mean, we're talking about Matthews and, you know, McDavid here. Like, to have your best guy or one of your very best guys, Matthews, with the opportunity he had, the opportunities, like you're correct to say, plural, that he had, and there's McDavid, who, correct me if you disagree here, I felt like the U.S. did a very good job on McDavid throughout the balance of this game. I don't feel like I saw him flashing a lot in this game, and I would credit their game plan and defensive, you know, maybe Matthews and Eichel both doing a very good job on him, but boy, you know, he gets one opportunity there, and bingo, bango, bongo, it's in the net.
He said it himself in the interview after the game, right after the game, when he was talking to Emily Kaplan, that he goes, I struggled all night. He goes, I struggled all night. He goes, that basically was the only time that he got loose. And, you know, when he picked up the player of the game trophy, he looked like he was almost embarrassed because I think he knew he wasn't the player of the game. I mean, they don't win if Jordan Binghamton doesn't steal that hockey game for him. You know, I know that that's the overtime goal to win the tournament, but that's the only right. thing that McDavid did the whole night. And Binghamton was just out of his mind. So that, to me, you got it. He's got to take home the trophy for player of the game, not necessarily the MVP of the tournament. That I don't disagree with. I think, actually, you could have gone with McDavid as MVP, or you could go with who they did, McKinnon. I thought that was a good pick. You could have gone with either one with that. But for that particular game, it's got to be Binghamton.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you on that. But, you know, McDavid, he got the goal. It's his league, right? He's the face of the league. And so, you know, I guess I can accept them doing it. It's a little like a quarterback winning the MVP in the Super Bowl when a running back had the better game, right?
Like the Eagles, like when they're one of their defensive linemen.
Sure.
Actually absolutely been the MVP.
And right, right. How, you know, on Matthews, just a little bit more here. Because I felt like of all the players, just watching this game with Owen, and you know what a hockey fanatic he is and how well he knows the game, I'm watching with him, and I thought this watching last night, that Matthews, among all the players in this tournament, particularly on Team USA, I felt like I saw more variation in his game. To me, and I've watched him hundreds of times already in the NHL, I know he's got the shot, and you know he's a prolific offensive player. I thought all around the ice, he was awesome. Again, I know he blew it at the end here, but I was impressed. Him carrying the puck through the neutral zone, I felt like his skating is not a part of his game that I really often focus on. I'm really focused on him in the offensive end, finding his spaces and changing shot angles and just how deft he is with his hands and how fantastic that shot is. I thought his overall game was really tremendous in this tournament. I know it ended badly, but I was really impressed.
Before overtime, I thought he was by far Team USA's best player in that game. And I think what impressed me more than his two assists was breaking up that two-on-one by Guentzel.
Right.
Because he did hightail it back. If he starts coasting like Laine did in the last game Finland played and allowed a goal because he's not skating hard and was coasting, he doesn't get back to break that up. He just hustled back as hard as he could to do that. And, you know, I totally agree that. And look at what happened. You know, Eichel was with the Tkachuks, and it wasn't working last night. As soon as they broke that line up, it's the pucks in the net. And Matthews was a big part of it, you know.
Yep.
Being behind the net, you know, getting the turnover, bringing the puck out front. I called it shoveling the puck to Tkachuk. You might say the puck just went off his stick.
Yeah,
over
I think he was trying to jam at the post.
Either way,
and he lost it, but whatever.
When I say shoveling, that's kind of what I mean.
right.
You know, somebody kind of tried to take me to task of it. I didn't say he made a phenomenal pass. I said he shoveled it over there.
Right.
But still, he got the puck out there.
Yep.
You know, bringing it out and. And even, you know, getting the assist on the second goal, too, by Sanderson. He was trying to pass the puck, and Parayko, you know, gets in the way of it, and then it goes right to Sanderson. But still, you know, he's active around the net that way. So I don't disagree at all. I thought the other one that really opened my eyes in this tournament, especially in the USA-Canada game, the first game, when there was just no ice whatsoever, but I thought he shined, was Dylan Larkin. It just seemed like every game he was there for them. And they actually, when Tkachuk went out and couldn't really play anymore, they actually put Dylan Larkin out there with Matthews and Brady Tkachuk. And I knew Dylan Larkin was a good player. Don't get me wrong, but just the way he excelled and just watching him play in all ends of the ice and being their best player, I thought, in USA-Canada game number one. He shined in that game along with Guentzel, and probably they don't win without him there. So I was very impressed with him in that tournament.
Paul, before we both get clobbered on social media, you've mentioned twice here that Matthews broke up a two-on-one to Guentzel, who's his teammate. So I don't know who you're thinking of there on those plays, but I know it's, it can be. I think you've said that. Do you have a different guy?
Yeah, I have it in my notes. He got back and got his stick on it.
No, I know, but Guentzel's on Team USA with Matthews, so he couldn't have broken up a two-on-one that Guentzel was trying to execute. That's all. You said it the first time, and I thought, that doesn't sound right, and then you said it again. I'm like, all right, I gotta step in here. There's like Binnington and Billington from the other day. I'm sorry. it was somebody else. Regardless, we're fine, Paul. I just wanted to make sure we had it right.
Again, I'm glad you did. I'm sorry, it was Marchand.
Oh, okay, yeah. He's Canadian. All right.
I went back to my notes here. It's Marchand. Maybe I should have consulted my notes before we spoke.
Right. So, you know, Paul, in the end, I don't know how you feel about this. Like, I don't get too worked up about, like, oh, the TV ratings. Like, I hope a lot of people watched. I'm sure they did. And anything that's good for the game is great. But, like, I'm not that worried about the business of the league necessarily. I love that the coaches on both of these teams talked about the impact a game like this, seeing the best players in the world playing one another this entire tournament, the impact it can have on kids watching, seeing their parents invested in it, and caring about it. I just think a lot of fuses could have been lit over the last 10 days or so.
Yeah, it was just, you know, J.J. Watt is going crazy over this, you know,
right,
the way he tweeted
right.
about it and everything, and it just has helped. And I talked to Lindy Ruff, you'll hear it on the pregame tomorrow. As a coach, you're holding your breath. he first of all talked about the hockey and how great it was and why it was great and everything. And but he admitted when I brought it up, because yeah, there is an you don't want your guys hurt. You don't,
right.
Especially, you know, he says there's probably 7 or 8 teams now that are holding their breath with guys coming back with injuries and stuff. But he did admit, he goes, you know what, though? He goes, I think it's the price you pay to – he goes, I still think you need to have these tournaments and to sell hockey and to show hockey that way. He goes, I really, really do that you have to do that. So, you know, it's coaches and owners and GMs are like, do we really want to do this? You know, look at Vegas. They're not going to have Theodore probably for the rest of the year. How long is Ottawa going to be Florida going to be without Matthew Tkachuk? Who knows?
I think you're right to mention Ottawa, too. I mean, Brady Tkachuk played the whole game last night, but he was nursing something coming in,
Was. So Trocheck may have a broken finger or
right.
And, you know, he had a puck that he turned the puck over and it wound up in a goal. Then you see the replay. Well, he turned the puck over because his hand got slashed. And then he left the game. He did wind up coming back. But, you know, how much is that? Maybe he can play with it, but how much is that going to affect him and the New York Rangers?
Right. How about Slavin, by the way, in this tournament, Paul? That's a player we haven't mentioned yet, and I'm just so impressed. The shot block in the slot that he had last night, I think that was in the second period, if I remember correctly. Did you notice, like, he lifted his legs off the ice, like a goalie who sprawled, realizing the shot's about to go over him, and just takes a shot, like, lifted. Oh, I hope I get it. I was just so – I don't know if that was accidental, you know, just physics or if he intended to do that. But, man, what a shutdown player.
Look at what he did, and I'm looking at it now because I actually put it in my articles. I talked about Slavin. Crosby looked like he had a tap-in for a goal.
Right.
It was a wide-open net. Slavin turns around, got his stick there, and made the save. And it was just like nothing. It wasn't like he had to dive in there
right,
or whatever.
Yep.
He just calmly turned and put his stick there and stopped the puck from going in the wide open net. And that's kind of business as usual. And I don't say this lightly. He didn't have any points in the tournament, but had Team USA won that, I would have made a case for him to be Team USA's MVP. Because without him, I don't think they're where they were. Every single game he played like that. And he was on the ice for quite a few Team USA goals. As I said, he didn't have any points, but the way he played, I'm trying to remember, probably have to go back to Lidstrom to see a defenseman that played like that in this type of a tournament and just kept killing plays and killing right. plays and getting the puck up ice and killing plays. And it just dominated that way. Hellebuck probably would have been Team USA's MVP or the MVP of the tournament had Team USA won, and I can't really argue with that. Not many people are going to vote for Slavin, but
right.
I could certainly made a case for him, and you can see why they rave about him in Carolina. Maybe he doesn't get the press he should because he plays in Carolina, but I know Mike Maniscalco used to work with us at WGR, mm-hmm. and he's now their play-by-play guy, and Mike has raved about him for I don't know how long. You know, when Buffalo's playing Carolina, we've talked about the two teams, and he's always talking about Slavin. And then you watch the game, and it's like, yeah, he had a good. He always has a good game against the Sabres. I think he very rarely has poor games against anybody, and he really, really was a force for them.
Just a tremendous example of a guy who can be a shutdown defender without being like a punishing physical body checker, you know, there's just all kinds of ways to get it done. And you said the correct phrase there, kills plays. That's it. He just kills plays dead. It's not flashy, like big hits can be. I'm not saying he isn't physical, but he's not. It's not his number one trait by a long shot to me. He's just positionally very smart.
And he knows where to be in the passing lane, and
right.
he knows where to be in the shooting lane, and is always there.
So, Paul, 5:30 tomorrow, the Rangers, you've been around the Sabres this week as they've been ramping up. But I should ask this very directly. Is everybody back, and will everyone play? Like Dahlin, Thompson, Lukanen?
Yep. Ruff said everybody is available except, well, Kozak isn't up anymore. He did play in the last game for the Sabres, which would have been Nashville, so I'll bring him up. He went back down and has since gotten a lower body injury and is week to week down in Rochester. So if you're wondering where he went, he was sent down, played a little bit with Rochester, and wound up with this injury that is going to keep him out a while. But other than that, Greenway, the guys who all played in the tournament, they're all ready to go. And Lindy said everybody is available for tomorrow.
Forgive me, I've not had a chance to look. With Greenway back, is there a chance that they put the McLeod-Greenway-Zucker line back together, or is Zucker got to stay up on a different line because, you know, they need his offense up there?
Well, it's interesting to see, you know, how they'll put this back together. I mean, in practice, and Greenway has been – they've basically all been at practice. You know, Greenway has been with Cousins and Quinn. So okay. That puts McLeod with Tuck and Zucker. So that's what we're looking at right now. Krebs is centering Benson and Malenstein. So that's I think, the way we'll see it tomorrow. Greenway playing with Cousins and Quinn. I think they're, you know, Greenway is a good player to cause turnovers, and maybe it'll help those two maybe rediscover things. Because it's not necessarily that Greenway will score himself, but he's good for his line mates with the turnovers he you know, gets in there and is great on the forecheck. So that's what they're going to try right now. So it's instead of Greenway with McLeod and Zucker, it's going to be Tuck.
And I imagine Thompson then still on a wing with Kulik and Paterka.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, sure is. And then Lafferty appears to be the odd man out. As I said, Malenstein had been suffering from back spasms, but he's back. And he took the first shift with Krebs and Benson, and then Lafferty was later. Usually that means that you know, the guy who takes the second one is the one that's sitting out. So we'll see how that goes. And just, you know, Byram is still with Darlene, but interestingly enough, now Darlene is on the right side. I didn't think Byram performed all that poorly on the right side. But for whatever reason, they have flipped that.
All right, and they have a full stable of healthy defensemen too, right?
Yep, all eight are out there. Everybody. They will not have an injury list unless somebody gets sick or somebody trips coming into the arena. They will not have an injury list tomorrow when the game starts.
Not that I'm in a hurry to do anything about this, but Rochester, of course, has been continuing to play. You mentioned.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kozak going down after that Nashville game before this break for the Four Nations faceoff. Levi's been on a bit of a roll, right? Shutout last time out, I'm pretty sure.
He's been on a roll the whole time down there. Very deserving of being on the All-Star team. And, you know, you look at this Rochester team, I don't know when the last time you could say that they're the best team in the American Hockey League by 1 point over Laval and Hershey. And it's been a long time. I mean, they have a 31-14-3 record. And you also look at it, they're also second in the league in goal scoring. Calgary is 172 and they have 171. So they can put the puck in the net, but Levi definitely has put up great numbers down there, a very deserving AHL All-Star. And you just wonder, though, you look at Isaac Rosanne, he's fifth in the league in scoring with 45 points, and he's only 1 point out of second in the league in scoring. And he's second in the league in goals with 25. But think of the games he's played in Buffalo. I mean, he's around, I'm just going by memory, seven or eight NHL games, and he doesn't even get scoring chances when he's here. And he did play on a better line. He did play with Kulik and Paterka last time he was here until they wound up with an injury and he had to sit, so probably for a little over half the game. And again, you didn't see any scoring chances really. Or right now, those 25 goals in 46 games are not translating to the NHL yet. He's still young, but he's been developed correctly. He's been in the American Hockey League for a while, so we'll have to see. You could say the same thing about Levi. Is the AHL going to translate into the NHL eventually? We don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Paul, I just want to let you know that as a unrestricted free agent, I don't think my choice would be to sign with the Yankees. despite their relaxing the facial hair grooming policies that are so archaic, that they finally did it. But I think there's some better landing spots for me.
No, I think you know it'll be good for you. But honestly, I don't think you'd qualify yet. You know, it has to be, you know, a neatly trimmed type of a beard.
Oh, you haven't
everything.
Seen me, Paul. I got all. You got to watch the Twitch or the YouTube. I got all tightened up.
Oh, so you have a different look now.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the beard is still, but it's I got clipped. Yeah.
Okay. Well, good.
My barber, Oral Roberts, did a great job.
I'll look forward to seeing you in the Yankees lineup this year.
All right, Paul. Thanks a lot for this busy week. We've called on you a lot. We appreciate it. And back to it for the Sabres tomorrow, buddy. We'll talk
Enjoy
to you
Marty.
Soon. Yeah, right. Marty Baron coming up next. There's Paul teasing the next segment for us. Paul's appearance with us here on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. More hockey on the way. Yes, like Paul said, Marty Baron, former Sabre goaltender, after this on WGR.
Centering pass, McDavid scores! Connor McDavid wins it for Canada! And Jordan Binnington has done it again inside the TD Garden.
Sean McDonough with the call of the game-winning goal, the Four Nations face-off last night. I got to check these refs. Are they affiliated with the Chiefs? I think the fix was in. McDavid gets the winner. Go figure, Canada. They get everything. Joining us now on the Wester Hotline. I'm just kidding around because Marty Baron's joining us on the Wester Hotline here. Just teasing, Marty. How are you? Thanks for hopping in here on short notice for me.
Well, you're teasing, but I think Canada should have been called for too many men on the ice in overtime. They didn't have six. They didn't have seven. I think they had eight at one point. And I know it's by the benches and that happens, but Braden Point was in on the forecheck, and they had too many. They let it go, and I can appreciate it. But if you have to think of, you know, maybe that would have been the one power play the U.S. needed to win it.
That's fair. I forgot all about that. But, yeah, that was pretty egregious, I would say. Well, Marty, I know how much you obviously love the game, and I know what it means to your family. It has to feel good when the eyes of the sports world sort of descend on hockey in this way like they have over the over almost the last 2 weeks here.
Yeah, you got to think that everything fell just perfect for the NHL and the NHLPA over the last 2 weeks because the Super Bowl happens, and then you're like, what, the NHL is going to go dark for 2 weeks? Like, no game? No. You have the world right there for you. But I felt like they stepped into the big stage, and maybe they got lucky, right? They got lucky with, you know, the first game, Canada-Sweden. Like, if Canada doesn't allow Sweden to come back Wednesday 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, and all of a sudden, like, it's not an overtime game and it's not the same buzz, does it carry over? Does it continue on Saturday night with the three fights in 9 seconds and everything? And if it's Canada-Sweden or Canada-Finland or U.S.-Finland or U.S.-Sweden, is it the same thing? in the final. I will never know. All I know is that it was spectacular. It was fun. It was intense. It was emotional. It was physical. It was everything that they wanted to be and more. And the players really got to be, you know, congratulated for that, because I felt like they put it all on the line.
No, that's, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, the line, the margins are so slim, right? I mean, he could have had a very different result if a couple of things go a different way. And that's right. I mean, even just competitively, that Sweden game, I remember watching it thinking, like, I'm not rooting for anyone really here. I just want to see a good show. And when Canada's up, I'm like, I really need a Sweden goal. I want this to be, you know, back and forth. And sure enough, there it was. And then there was another, and ultimately overtime. So, yeah, absolutely right.
And the Sweden coach didn't help, because I got angry for his lack of usage of Rasmus Dahlin right in game one. Like, he didn't play on the power play late in the game at 3-3 tie. He didn't play in overtime. So it got me fired up. So maybe I was even more emotional and intense with the whole thing because of the Sweden coach. And I think he didn't really get his team going the right way.
One of the main reasons I thought to reach out to you today, I mean, obviously, the spectacle that we all just watched was tremendous. But Jordan Binnington, Marty, and just you heard Sean McDonough say it there. He did it again at TD Bank North Garden. I feel like mostly I'm in the group that just wants to kick him in the rear end all the time. A lot of it is because of how he handles himself on the ice during games. I just think he's kind of a loose nut. And I don't know how you handle your son Jacob, who's playing college hockey now. When Owen was playing, I hated any time. I understood it; it can happen. But anytime he lost his temper, that was the thing I maybe most vocally criticized him about, or tried to guide him. Like, dude, get out of there! All your teammates are going to come rally if you take a swing at somebody or cross check somebody, and you're going to get penalties, and it's bad. Just skate away. But Binnington is like a wing nut with that stuff. It's like he goes looking for it. So he's been one of my least favorite guys. But man, what a show he put on, especially in overtime last night.
So it's funny you say that, because that is not anything about hockey or the positioning. It's more about how do you handle yourself as a person, right? Like, I remember my dad never said much about my game. You know, he was a coach and everything, but he let me do my own thing, and he let the goalie coach do their own thing. But I remember one day I was with the Flyers, and we played in New Jersey, and I had a bad game. And I got a voicemail after the game, and I called him. I said, "What's going on?" He goes, "Would you get up after you give up a goal? Don't just sit there. Get up and get ready for the next shot." And I'm like, oh, like, it wasn't about, hey, you know, your angles and your stick or whatever. And that's, I feel like you were the same way with Owen. And I feel like even though I played the game, like, I don't want to so much tell my son, like, hey, you know what, your glove in or whatever. It's more about, you know,
demeanor,
composure.
Yeah,
don't lose your cool here. Like, the game is still on the line. Like, it's almost like more of a human aspect of it. And when we watch Jordan Binnington, that's why I think it drives so many people crazy. Because even though you've never played the game or you don't know hockey that much, you watch him and you're like, what's wrong with him? Why is he going crazy? Why does he push this guy? Why is he slapping? Like, so I've been pretty loud about the Adin Hill should have been their starter. And Canada could have won with Adin Hill. Now, I think John Cooper had a bit of a wager on, I want the guy that can make that big save in overtime if we get there in the final game. And who's that guy? Binnington, Hill, or Montembeau? And he picked Binnington. And he won the gamble that he took by having Binnington there. But Binnington in Sweden game wasn't that great. He gave up a couple of shaky goals to the U.S. Saturday night. Wasn't good in the third period against Finland. So it's like, when was he good? Overtime against Sweden, overtime against USA, and you win a gold medal. So it wasn't the best of Binnington, but that's who he is, and he's never going to change.
Yeah, I did you notice last night after all the, you know, the hoopla and the helmets and the gloves and everything goes flying and they're sort of gathering on the ice, ESPN cut away to a shot of Binnington and Cooper embracing, and Cooper, it was, and they stayed on it for a long time, and Cooper was talking the whole time to him in his ear, and I just thought, wow, what a moment.
Yeah, but think of John Cooper and him coaching Tampa, winning back-to-back Stanley Cup cups, and going to a third straight cups and losing in that one. But like, I think Coop is also that guy, very arrogant, confident, and he likes those type of guys. He likes Nikita Kucherov. Doesn't like him. He loves him. Mm-hmm. And Kucherov is, sometimes you watch him and you're like, man, like, he doesn't care at all about this game. The effort level is a zero right now. And then some nights he's the best player in the world. And I think John Cooper loves that. And John Cooper loves to put it all on the line with Jordan Binnington. It's almost like he wanted that scenario so we can say how smart and how good John Cooper is. And I know Coop, and he's a great guy, but I think he almost was hoping for that scenario so that we can give him all the credit and all the accolades.
Former NHL goaltender, longtime Sabre, and current broadcaster here on TV for the games, and of course on the radio here with Sabres Live, noon to one. Marty, I ran away from it so quickly. So you're on the Flyers. That's like near the, I mean, you'd played how many games by then? That's when your dad is calling you to complain about your posture or your demeanor. Like, that's incredible to me. I love that.
Yeah, I remember I was on the bus, and we used to travel by bus between New Jersey and Philadelphia. It was an hour and a half, right? It was like no need to take the plane and whatever. Like, you go from, you know, Philly to Newark. And, yeah, I remember him calling me, and that was before texting and all of that. So I had to call him on the phone. And yeah, he never said too many things to me about the game, but that was one that I recall. You know, I remember my agent back in juniors, I was struggling my second year at the start of the year. I just got drafted in the first round. And again, like, it was more about the mental approach to the game. He's like, Marty, why don't you play each period in 5-minute segments? Because right now, like, you give up a goal in the first minute and it's like, you're thinking, oh boy, the next 59 minutes are going to be tough. He's like, how about you only focus about the next 4 minutes? And then after that, you're going to get the next five. And then and my dad would remind me of that often. Hey, how was your 5-minute segments, mm-hmm. you know, last game? Or and that was just a mental reminder. And I thought that was, you know, that's why maybe family members, they understand you more, they know you better. So sometimes they can just make sure they push the right buttons. But that was mostly our conversation. We rarely talked about the games and all of that, but he would always have these quiet reminders until one time where he was a little bit louder, like, get yeah. off your knees and get ready for the next one.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's I think that's good practice for any hockey parents out there, at least as if you go up the levels and keep climbing. Like, yeah, let the David Leggios and the goalie coaches of the world handle the RVHs and all that stuff. Just like, I'm out of the way because I don't know what the hell's going on anymore. Marty.
Well, it's kind of funny because you say that, and I had a conversation with Steve Sayo. He's the GM in Ottawa now, but he was the GM with the Hamilton Bulldogs at the OHL years ago, and his son was about 17, and I said, hey, you know, are you still going on the ice with your son and doing some stuff and, you know, some skills? He goes, no. He goes, I stopped doing that when he was about 14 and 15. He goes, he doesn't want to hear me tell him, you know, hold your stick that way, shoot, skate, do this, and then it's like, do your homework, clean your room. He's like, no. He goes, that's too much. He goes, I'm a dad at the rink. I'm a dad at home. I'm not his coach anymore. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Marty Baron on the Western Hotline with us for a couple of more minutes here. So pretty stark. In overtime, we've got Matthews with the puck on his stick in the slot, in pretty tight. Easy yeah. to say, get it over the glove. I think from that angle, maybe over the glove means over the net. He was in so tight there. So tough spot, but still great save, Binnington. And then the big save on Tkachuk as well, at the edge of the, you know, the side of the net there. And then, you know, McDavid is all alone in the slot. Farther out, a little easier to pick your spot there. And Hellebuck couldn't yeah. get out far enough to take the angle away, but pretty stark. Like, the best guy on Team USA has the game on his stick. The best guy on Team Canada has the game on his stick, and the guy in Team Canada doesn't miss.
Yeah, and when Matthews missed, well, when Binnington made the save, I thought, how does Matthews not elevate the puck? Like, you cannot hit the goalie in the pad there. Like, you got to elevate, and then you see the replay, and you think, wow, he actually elevated the puck. It was the blocker of Binnington that made the save. The save on Tkachuk was a good desperation save by Binnington, but it was a bad angle, and I don't know if it was going in or not, but it's more spectacular.
Yeah.
Now, I feel bad for Austin Matthews because I thought he had a fantastic game.
Me too.
And he had a great tournament. Despite like the low production, he was physical. He was great defensively. He was usually the one that, you know, Mike Sullivan would deploy in tough situations, and he did a good job all game against Connor McDavid. I don't blame him for the last goal. Like, everybody said, oh, McDavid was left alone by Matthews. I look at Adam Fox, and I'm like, where was Fox? When Marner has the puck in the corner, Fox was nowhere near. So Matthews is like, well, I got to go. And when he goes, Fox is like, I'm going too. And Adam Fox looked really bad in the tournament, I thought. So I don't blame Matthews. He tried to make a play. It just happened that when you make a mistake at that level, it's some of the best players in the world that end up with the chance.
I would have to admit, and I said this to Paul a little while ago, Marty, that I did not think of Matthews as a 200-foot player before this tournament. And I don't know if he changed his game or if I just haven't been watching closely enough when I watch him play with Toronto. I mean, I watched him play probably hundreds of times already in his career. And I just thought his 200-foot game was a revelation in this tournament.
And that's why I was hoping Tage Thompson was going to get a chance to go to the tournament because, you know, you're put in different situations. Like Tage in with the Sabres, he's got to score. He's got to produce offensively. Austin Matthews with Toronto, he's got to score. He's got to produce offensively. But in those type of tournaments, you're put in different situations. Like Patrice Bergeron was made for those events because he played the same way on Team Canada that he did in Boston. And then everybody recognized, wow, look at how great he can be, not just at the NHL level, but at the Olympic level as a defensive forward. But maybe Tage would have had that responsibility.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have had a chance to see Tage in that situation. I bet you Tage goes next year to the Olympics. Like, you know, Kreider, no. Vincent Trocheck, no. Like, there was a lot of no's on Team USA moving forward. I think that they'll make different selections.
Yeah, I hope that that's right, because I would love to see Thompson get the opportunity here to go represent the country, and the Olympics is really, it's a bigger stage than even this. I mean, this was tremendous, but hopefully that comes to fruition. Yeah. What are your thoughts as the Sabres are a couple of weeks away from the trade deadline, and they're ramping their season back up here, just real quick before we part ways? What do you think happens here? Zucker and Greenway, are they easy trades or easy contract extension candidates in your mind?
Well, I mean, I'd like to have both of them, especially Zucker. I think he's been great, right? And Jordan Greenway, the injuries are worrying me. He seems to have missed a lot of games, right? But when he's on the ice, he's definitely a factor. So I think you got to evaluate all of that. But, I mean, Lindy Ruff laid out the plan. You need to play 700, you know, point percentage for the next 25 games, and then you have three left to try to get to 90 points. There's only two teams in the NHL that are playing above 700 point percentage right now. So is it a big hill to climb? Absolutely. So, yeah, maybe you have an opportunity to make some moves to say we're going to be better next year. I know people want to say, hey, next year has always been the, you know, the broken record the last little bit here, but you still have to get better. So maybe you can get better, you know, looking at a Greenway trade at the deadline, a Zucker trade at the deadline. Now, there's still a lot of chatter around Bo Byram and Owen Power and Dylan Cousins. So
yep.
Maybe there's hockey trades to be made and rental trades to be made. I think Kevin Adams has going to have a busy 2.5 weeks here before March 7th.
Marty, thank you so much for answering the Bat Signal on such short notice. We enjoyed the visit very much. Very timely with all the events of the last few weeks here, and especially this tournament. Just fantastic. So thanks for this. Best to the family, and I hope to run into you soon, man.
Same to you. Thanks for having me, Bulldog. And yes, I'll show up to the porch beers in the spring when it's nicer.
That's a date. 100%. I will take you up on that for sure. Love to have you over.
I want to come up to the attic and see all them guitars.
There it is. Yes, that I will make that happen, dude. You just let me know when you want to do it. Thanks, Marty.
Thanks. Sounds good.
That is Marty Baron on the Western Hotline going over the Four Nations face-off and also taking a brief look at the Sabres' way forward here. All right, we are going to shift gears and talk some football. It's been an entire hockey-centric show here for the first 2 hours. We'll change that up. Mike Renner, CBS Sports, NFL, and draft analyst will join us after the top of the hour break here. So we'll get into some of that with him as we continue. Mike is on vacation along with Zach Jones. I'm the Bulldog, and this is WGR.